Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms 19. We live in difficult days, but also very exciting days. Jesus may not be coming back for another 1,000 years, but there sure is a lot going on in the Middle East and around the world that's very interesting. And you and I need to be looking forward to Christ coming back and taking us home. But until then, we need to be thankful. And we need to be thankful for the truth that we know. If you will, look in Psalms 19, beginning in verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Psalms 19 is divided into two parts. The first 6 verses deal with creation, that God has communicated himself through the created world. And Romans 1 says he's made himself known, and even his invisible attributes, his character, so that people can look up and see there's a God, and there's a great God and a powerful God. But that's not sufficient to save. Creation does not save. Took God to bring the scripture, the revelation of scripture, so that you and I could know how to be saved and to know about God. And that's what the Bible is. It is God's inspired word. It is his teaching. It is his truth that he has given to us that was inspired and written by men over a period of 1,500 or so years, particularly in the New Testament, those connected with the apostles and prophets. And that has become, that is written down, it is God's holy, precious word. Now you and I, and many people, believe that it is God's word. But many don't really believe that it is sufficient. That is, to know God's word is not enough. There must be other things. And we live in a day and age in which people give passing notion to the scripture, but they don't look at it as the primary means. They're just other sources. There's much competition today. Psychology has brought in all kinds of ideas, and nothing wrong with going to those, but they compete sometimes with scripture. The world has brought in all kinds of ideas. Every once in a while, I'll flip on a morning show just out of curiosity. And they're always giving advice about something. You know, how to parent, or how to do this, or how to do that. And they've all got these nice steps and all arranged in order. And people say, oh, they're good, and they may be very practical, and may be very good. But they all tend to undermine the sufficiency of Scripture. I am, believe it or not, an antiquated item. Someone who just preaches the Bible today. In the years that I've been in the ministry, I've been amazed at how much things have changed, because there is an implication that the Bible's not enough. It's not sufficient. You know, we must have more. There must be something else. And in this passage of Scripture, God tells us otherwise. And what he does in these 6 lines of thought, it has 3 basic elements in each one, in each verse. One, he gives a title for the word of God, and he gives 6 of them. Secondly, he gives a characteristic that describes the word of God. And thirdly, he gives a benefit for the word of God. So he does it 6 times. Each time he gives a title, this is the word of God. He then gives a characteristic of that word, and then he gives a benefit that comes from that. So he does it 6 times. Each time he uses the phrase of the Lord, of the Lord, of the Lord, meaning this comes from the Lord. And I want us to look at just a few of them this morning. We probably won't finish. But let's begin with the first one, where he uses the term law. He uses the term law. Law really is a word which refers to divine teaching. This points to the teaching nature of Scripture. Scripture is an instruction manual. And it's not just a historical book, though it is. And it gives divine principles and teaching. So it is an instruction book on life. When God had the Scripture put together, he uses the term law. And it not just referring to the Old Testament law, but to the teaching nature of Scripture. God reveals the true doctrine to humanity, what we are to believe, the character we are to have, and how we are to live. And that one little phrase, he uses the word law to communicate the idea that Scripture is a teaching book. In my mind's eye, I look at the Scripture as God's communication to me about himself, about the relationship I'm to have with him, about the way I'm to live my life, the conduct of my life, the blessings in life, and ultimately eternity. Scripture is a teaching book. And that's what he means by the term law. It is an instruction book from God. We studied on Wednesday night that those who are outside of Christ, who do not know the Lord as their Savior, the Bible says their understanding has been darkened. Meaning they don't understand the way to God. They don't understand God. And those outside of Christ are in the dark. They're like someone sitting in a dark room and they can't see what is going on. They don't know what is going on. In spite of all the religion they may have or the thoughts they may have or the things they may have, they don't understand God and the way to God. They're in the dark. When a person is saved, it takes the Holy Spirit to take the truth of God's word to awaken their hearts to see the truth. It is a real work of the Holy Spirit of God. But God to us has instructed us. He's given us light. And that's the meaning of the word law. The second thing he says about the law is that it is perfect. The law is perfect. That is a description of the Scripture. First, it is a teaching book. And it is perfect. This is in contrast to the imperfect, flawed reasonings of humanity. When the Bible says about the Scripture and the law, he is saying that it is absolutely perfect. If you listen to the world, what was hip today won't be hip tomorrow. Because the world is constantly changing. What is popular today wasn't popular years ago. You know, every once in a while when you look back at old pictures, and if you ever look back at old pictures and saw the clothes that you wore or the hairdos that you had, you go, I actually dressed that way? I look that way? Yeah, because that's what was in style. That was the thing in vogue. But that's going to change. You see, the world has these ideas that are out here, but they're constantly going to change because they're not from God. They're not a teaching from God. But God's word is perfect. This word perfect refers to its sufficiency. One translator says it means to be all-sighted as to cover completely every aspect of life. The word perfect means it is comprehensive. It covers everything that is about life. Everything that God intended us to know about that relationship with him, and how to walk with him, and how to serve him, and how to love him, the Scripture is perfect. It covers it all. I don't need some other revelation. I don't need some dream. I don't need some other insight. What I need is the Scripture, because the Scripture is the teaching book, and it is perfect. It covers everything. Now, the problem is, it covers stuff people don't want to hear. That's really the problem. The problem is not that the Bible is not sufficient, that it is not perfect, that it does not include everything. It's just we don't like what it includes. And particularly our modern world says, man, that's an antiquated book. That thing is out of date because they've come up with all new ideas of how to live and how to conduct themselves. I don't see much more advantage in what they're doing. Don't seem like their ideas are working too good. God's word is perfect. It is all sufficient. It covers everything I need to know about life and about God and about my relationship with Him. But today, and maybe you might unconsciously think, you know, the Bible doesn't have enough in it. You know, I don't need to read it that much, and I don't need to study it that much, and I don't need to hear it that much, because after all, I know a whole lot of other things that are getting me by. But do you really know the Scripture? Because the Scripture is all-inclusive. If you want to know what God thinks, don't depend on me totally. You need to depend on what God's Word says. God's Word is a perfect guide. It is an all-inclusive thing about what I need to know about God. God didn't look down through time and go, oh my, they're going to invent the computer. And they're going to invent the iPhone. And I won't know what to do anymore. Because they've invented all that stuff. No, that's not the way God thinks. God communicated Himself and His ways, and no matter what changes in the world, God's Word is perfect. It is sufficient. It covers everything that I need to know about life, about my relationship with my wife, about my relationship with my children, about my relationship with God, about my relationship in the church, about my relationship with church members, about my relationship with the unsaved, how I can conduct my life and what I should do. It covers all aspects of life. Now, I may not be willing to study it. Now, I may not be willing to try to do it. Someone every once in a while says, I tried that. You know, I went to church all my life. It didn't work. Well, maybe that's what you did. You went to church all your life, but you didn't study the Scripture. You didn't look at the Scripture as all-inclusive, as perfect. It covers everything that I need to know. You know, whether you believe that or not determines how much you study and how much you read the Scripture and how many other ideas you depend on, rather than the all-sufficient Scripture. So he says the word law is a teaching tool. It is perfect. That means it is sufficient. And then he says it converts the soul. This speaks of converting, transforming, restoring, and refreshing. The word soul has the idea to include the entire person. And he's referring partly to salvation, but also to all the effects that salvation brings in the life. If carefully obeyed, the Scripture can transform a person's whole life in every regard. It tells us how to be saved, and it provides all the means necessary for being sanctified and matured and to grow in the Lord. Matter of fact, when he said in 2 Timothy 3 that the Bible makes us wise unto salvation. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm not in the dark. I know I'm going to heaven when I die, and I know how to get to heaven. You know how I know that? Because I'm so smart? No, because the Holy Spirit led me to the cross, and I studied the Scripture. And I know how to walk with God. Not perfectly. I'm growing in my relationship with Him. But the Bible says it converts the soul. It ought to bring salvation. But all the means and all the tools I have to be what God intended me to be are found in the Scripture. It is a refreshing, conforming, a changing thing. It's what changes people's lives. I say, preacher, it didn't change my life. Well, maybe you're not following it. You see, the problem is not the testimony of people and what people may say about the Bible or what people may say about the Scripture. The truth is what God says. It is something that converts and changes and molds the life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 that the Scripture is like a sharp two-edged sword. And when the Scripture is studied, it cuts deep into the heart, dividing even the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Scripture is a very powerful tool to conform, to lift, to encourage, to challenge, to convict. It is God's means to convert, to refresh, to change, to mold us. And as he said, it is perfect. It is that which is comprehensive. You know why life is the way it is for me? Because I've been studying the Bible and God graciously reached down and saved me. Is my life perfect? No. Is everything wonderful? No. But God is working a work of grace in my heart and life, and he is constantly molding and changing the more I study the scripture. I was reading through the Old Testament, and I'd been reading that for many years, and I read in Genesis where the angels came in and Lot was there, and they wanted to have relations, and that all of a sudden it just saw it like I'd never saw it before. They accused Lot of being a judge. What are you, to judge us? You ever heard that today? One verse that everybody who doesn't want to live right and lives outside the Lord always uses is, you people are judgmental. That's the very thing they said. Well, sometimes we are. We are cruel and judgmental. But the truth is, Lot showed that he wasn't going to participate in that lifestyle, and that offended them. And said, who do you think you are? Because people want to defend that. God's word is a transforming tool. It converts the soul. It refreshes and changes and molds and makes you a different person. He said, preacher, I know a lot of Christians that are not different people. I know a lot of Christians that are, quote, hypocrites. Fine. I know a lot who are not. I know a lot of people who do love the Lord. I know a lot of people who have been changed by the scripture and the word of God in salvation. You show me some that haven't, I'll show you some that have. I'll show you just ordinary people whose lives have been changed by the converting, refreshing, molding power of the scripture. I know God's ways because he has taught me. The second word he uses then, he uses the word testimony. The word testimony is not a different word. It is parallel to the law. And both are referring to the scripture. The word testimonies means the idea that when someone comes into a courtroom and they give testimony. They give testimony to what they've seen and what they've heard. Or maybe sometimes in a courtroom there's an expert that comes in who knows some medical terms or something else, and they come in and they give testimony to what they know. Well, the Bible uses the word testimony or testimonies to communicate the idea that that's what Scripture is. Scripture is the testimony of God. You see, the Bible says it's the law, it's a teaching tool, but it uses the word testimony or testimonies to communicate that the Scriptures are God's testimony of what he is and who he is and how he thinks and what he expects in life. And so that word testimony is parallel to law, one giving one aspect of it and testimony giving the other aspect. I have no idea, folks, and I'm not ashamed to say that I know what God thinks because I know what God's word said. Now, I don't know everything God thinks. I don't know everything that goes on. But I know what God thinks to some degree because I know his word. It is a testimony to God. God says, if you want to know what I think, read my word. If you know what I believe, read my word. If you know what I expect of you, read my word. If you want to know who I am, read my word. It is a testimony to the character and to the nature of God. How do you learn about God? You just read. You just read, and you watch how he dealt with Noah. You watch how he dealt with Abraham. You watch how he dealt with David. You watch how he dealt with Paul. You watch what the scripture teaches in the New Testament about the things of God and the teachings of God, and you really look at all the things, and you begin to learn and understand, this is God's testimony of what he thinks. He says, the second thing he describes it, he says his testimony is sure. Sure. Sure means to be unmovable, secure, and worthy to be trusted. That is, the scripture is God's testimony of himself and who he is and his ways, and it is sure, meaning it is trustworthy. It doesn't change. That is in contrast to the unsure, insecure, wavering, and shifting notions of mankind. The world is always shifting ideas of what they think and what they believe, and they look at biblical ideas as antiquated and out of date. But God says, this scripture, my testimony, is sure. It's something you can trust on. Can I tell you how much you can trust on it? This Bible is so sure and so trustworthy that I can bank my life on when I die, I'm going to heaven. I can bank my entire eternity on the fact that I'm going to heaven. Because I'm good? No, because I know what God's word has said. I've trusted and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you know what, folks? This is not a myth. This is not what Baptists believe or somebody else believes. Do you know what I'm doing in my life? I'm banking my entire eternity on what Scripture says. I'm banking on the fact that when I die, I will go to heaven, though I've never been there. And when I go, I won't be able to come back and tell you, people. I'm sorry. When I go, I won't be able to come back and tell you. I'm building my life, my eternity, on this Bible. That's how sure it is. That's how great it is. Don't ever take for granted Jesus says, oh, we know this stuff. No, you don't. You only knew it because God communicated it through his word. You've only known it because preachers have preached it. You've only known it because you've read it. You've only known it because you've been in Sunday school. You only know it because you've heard God's word throughout your life. Don't take for granted. You're building your whole eternity on the scripture. It's sure. And you can trust in it. And then he describes the blessing of it. He says it's making wise the simple. I like that. It makes wise the simple. The law is God's teaching tool. It's perfect. It's sufficient for all of life. And it converts the soul. It changes and it refreshes. It is his testimony. It's what God says. It is sure you can depend on it. And it makes wise the simple. Proverbs talks a lot about the simple. You know who the simple are? The simple person who is naive, they're like an open door. They just let anything come in through the door. They're simple-minded. Proverbs talks about the simple-minded. But the scripture makes wise the simple-minded. You say, preacher, am I simple-minded? No, it doesn't mean you're stupid or anything of that nature. It just means the scripture teaches you about the ways of God and the things of God so you can be more discerning about life. It makes wise the simple. To be wise is to be skilled in the matters of practical, godly living. When the Bible says to make wise, it doesn't mean that it makes you so intellectual that you're so smart that you're above everyone else. No, when the Bible says it makes us wise, it means it gives us the skill to live daily life that's pleasing to God. To be wise is to master the art of daily living by knowing the word of God and applying it to every situation. To be wise means as life comes, I have learned God's word. It helps me to become wise, to understand, so that when I face a situation, I know what to do because I've been made wise and skillful in the art of living. You know, there are many people today, I am amazed at the skill of doctors. Had a tube put in my ear this week, get all that fluid out, and I can hear. And I joked with the doctor and said, this is surgery. He said, yeah, this is surgery. And I said, I'm glad you know how to do this, and I know you're an expert at this. And he is. He knows just how to do that. And I'm always amazed at the skill of a doctor. If you don't think there's a skill of a doctor, then you call me up and have me do your surgery. And you see if there won't be a difference between the qualified doctor, what he does, and what I do. You know, it's nice to have the friendly butcher who's friendly, but I'd rather have the cold, skilled surgeon who knows what he's doing. And they're very skilled at that art. You know, there are many people today who have tremendous skills. They've gone to school. They've learned things. Many of you here today have skills in life. But you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of skill on how to live life daily. How to have a good home, good relationship with a mate, good relationship with this, a good relationship with people, the ability to get along and love and be gracious and kind, the ability to take problems to God, and just the ability to have the skill to live daily life. Know when to open your mouth and know when to close your mouth. Not everything needs to be said. Proverbs says, you speak to a fool in his folly. And then Proverbs also says, don't speak to a fool in his folly. Making wise the simplest to know sometimes you just say, fine. And sometimes you speak. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Very few people have the wisdom and the skill to live daily life and to live it well. And particularly to live it in a way that pleases God. You know how many troubles there are in the world? A lot of troubles. Well, some of it's people and some of it's us. Some of it's us sometimes. We don't have the skill sometimes to relate properly to people. And so the Bible says it makes wise the simple so that we have the skill. One of the things in sitting in seminary, sitting in Dr. Harold Burchett, and I saw this man had wisdom and had the ability and the skill. And I watched him over the years and how he dealt with things. And I prayed that God would help me to be as wise. I'm not anywhere near that, but you know I'm wiser than I used to be. I have a little more skill in life and how to cope with it and how to live it. That's what the Bible does. You can count on it, it is sure, but it gives you the skills to live life. There are some people who have skills to do great intellectual things, and they don't even have the skills how to keep a marriage together. There are some people who can accomplish wonderful things, and they don't even have the skills how to get along with people and to be friends and not make people mad. They don't have those skills. Well, the Bible says it makes wise the simple. It gives you the skill to live a daily life that's pleasing and honoring to God. Then the third one he uses, he uses the word precepts. Precepts refers to divine principles, statutes, and guidelines. What precepts is the Bible uses the term law as a general term to mean God's teaching apparatus. But precepts means to be more detailed. The actual teachings of what God says. The precepts of God. That God says, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt do this, and thou shalt do this. All the precepts of God are the individual detailed teachings of the Lord. Precepts means his divine principles. And notice what he says about them. They are right. They are right. If you know what the Bible says, you can never go wrong. Because the precepts of Scripture are right. They show the true path, the true way, the true walk with God. You say, preacher, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, maybe you didn't understand what the Scripture said. Just because you read a verse and said, oh, that's what it means, doesn't mean that's what Scripture says. Scripture has to be studied and delved in and listened to and observed from people who are more learned and who know things and have to have things to be studied. It's not just some casual thing that you can just read and say, oh, I know it now. But his precepts are right. I guarantee you that. You can put your life on what God says, and if you follow his rules and his regulations, it will be the right way, and you don't have to worry. It's the wrong way. People who follow the word of God are not left to wander around in the fog of human opinion. I'm so glad I don't have to believe what everybody believes today. Well, preacher, you know, that's what people do today. That's fine. That's what people do today. That's not what Scripture says. That's what people do today. That's fine. But I'm so thankful that I don't have to make my life on the opinions of the world that will change from day to day to day. As a matter of fact, they haven't changed. It's the same old it's always been. But God's Word is clear. And notice the last thing he says. One of the benefits is it rejoices the heart. Walking in God's Word gives the pathway to true joy. Walking in God's Word gives the pathway to true joy. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know how you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? He tells you. by having bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking about others and unforgiveness in the heart grieves the Spirit of God. But it says we're to be forgiving and kind and gracious. And you know what, folks? You maybe never been there, but I've been at times where I held a grudge. Just put it honestly. Something hurt and I held a grudge. And by God's grace was able to obey the scripture. And you know what happens when you're able to forgive, when you're able to be kind to an enemy? You know what happens is there's real deep down joy in life. You see, the true joy in life is not having things and stuff. The true joy in life is being able to follow God's word. That is what rejoices the heart. And I close with this. If people would be as excited about scriptural teachings as they are of the materialism of the world, the church might be different. People get awfully excited about the materialism and all that the world offers, but they're not too excited about the teachings of scripture. And I'll tell you why. Because deep down in people's heart, they don't really believe this Bible is sufficient. It's enough. I have to know more. But it is sufficient. It is God's precious word.